Let's go, let's go. Let's go. Let's go, let's go. I hope everybody's having a blessed Sunday morning. I'm going to pick off where I left off talking about the woman. I'm doing this for you bros, my Akis, who are suffering or going through it with women who are still yet carnal, babes in this walk, that haven't given up their victim mentality. And in women that are listening to this show, take what you need. This is not a eat the meat and leave the bones type of philosophy or doctrine. You eat everything off your plate. I want you to scrape the plate from this episode because it'll help you. I'm going to talk to you firmly. I'm not going to baby you. I'm not going to coddle you. I'm not going to sweet talk you. I'm going to talk to you sternly. Let me start off with this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I am not trying to itch your ear. I am not going to pour honey down your ear. I want this to feel like cyanide. I want this to clean you out. I want this to feel like Drano. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This system has set up its programming to fool the woman. In order to fool the woman, you need programming. In order to take down the man, you need to fool the woman. If we can go back to, for a moment, the Garden of Eden. Adam was already in the field, in the garden, in his land, in his righteousness, tilling the ground, providing fruit for himself, and then setting some aside for an offering to the Most High. He was conversant with animals. He was naming them as he went on. He was obedient. It wasn't until he lost a rib that the woman wasn't even marveling at the fact that she got a man. She wasn't even desiring the fact that she got a good man. What was the thing that caught her attention? A tree that's similar to the tamarind tree, that as it's mentioned in Enoch. It says in Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her man with her, and he did eat. She saw with her eyes. That's being carnal-minded. And she thought to herself, I want to be wise like Elohim. I want to be like God. Adam didn't have any desire to want to be like God. Adam was already given authority over the garden, authority over the animals. In his own mind, he must have thought, like, I am something like a God, that the Most High has given me responsibility. So I'm going to uphold my end of the responsibility. The woman didn't have any responsibility at that time. So she thought to herself, I want to be like this man who has a responsibility. I want to have the authority. So she felt in herself that by taking of this fruit, that she was going to gain some type of superiority or equality to Adam. This plays out time and time again from the women in this generation. If we're going back to the days of Noah, we got to be going back to the tree of knowledge. And it really wasn't a tree of knowledge. The serpent said, you will be knowing good and evil. You will be knowing the knowledge of disobeying the Most High is you thinking you're smart. You thinking you're wise by finding a way to be disobedient to Yah. What has it cost for a woman to try to be wise? Her ass thrown out of the Garden of Eden. Her ass thrown out of paradise. Her and her man. Now, the only flowers I'm going to give Chua, Eve, was the fact that she took accountability of how she got beguiled and how she was lied to. She could have easily said, you know what? I'm leaving this man. He kept something from me. He didn't tell me this would happen to me, as women do today. She could have been the victim and carried that victimhood all her life. I don't know where she would have just died out. The Most High, I don't know if he would have cast her down and raised up another woman. I don't know, because she was accountable. So she was saved during childbirth. But that was the woman's only necessity, because it was proven that the woman wanted to be more than her station, more than her role. And anytime a woman, either from that generation to now, wants to be more than their role, they cause envying, strife, confusion, bitterness, war in their own households. And they chew up and eat up everything around them because of this mentality. And because of this victimhood has been sprinkled in into this generation, they believe that they don't have to be accountable. I saw this quote online, which is it's been mentioned a couple of times. Many of today's women want the authority of men, privileges of women, but the accountability of children. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Mashiach. So it doesn't matter if how far you think you are in this walk. If you think you are a babe in this walk, you are still yet carnal minded. You think with most things in carnality because that's all you know. You are still attached to this world and how this world has uplifted the image of women through no accountability, victim shaming, their victim card, even if they didn't even earn it, and causing envy and strife wherever they go because they think men owe them something. Men are supposed to apologize for the consequences of their actions. Now, I'm not saying men are always right, but the women I'm talking about are the women are the ones that are unhealed, the ones that have rear up trauma or lay down the victim card at every turn, that they made their whole personality and their entire philosophy of life based on the trauma that they went through in their lives. And they will never let go of it because everybody loves a victim. Everybody loves a victim. You could cry 100 million times, everybody loves a victim. They love to give attention to the victim. So when a victim understands this throughout their first trauma, they like that feeling of comfort. They like the attention. They get to explain how it's never their fault that they were so innocent-minded, that they were so trustworthy, that they have a big heart, and they can accept anything and everything. So woe is them for when trauma and bad things happen to them, when they place themselves in awkward or unsafe situations. And over time, they play the same tape every single time something happens to them. They hold on to their victim card. They hold on to the trauma. They never release it. So every relationship that they go to, every friendship that they form, every bond that they create, the first things that out of their mouth is how they've been hurt. How it's never their fault. And they may not say, it's never my fault, but they allude to the fact that they never have any responsibility in any of the actions that play out in their life. There was a woman online that mentioned women who do this too often create Vulnerable narcissism. So I'm going to educate you women who aren't not understanding of this mentality. And to educate your brothers and my Akis who have to deal with this nonsense on a day-to-day basis. And this is going to be the whole point of the show. I'm going to use women to back up what I'm saying, and I'm going to couple it with scripture. So you can't blame nobody. You can't blame my tone. You can't blame Yah. You can't blame nobody else speaking out of turn or out of line. You can blame yourselves.
This might piss some people off, but it has to be said. Not every tier means someone's a victim, and not every man is automatically the abuser. Let's talk about vulnerable narcissism in women, the face of narcissism nobody wants to address. We've been trained to see narcissism as arrogance, grandiosity, and entitlement, usually in men. But vulnerable narcissism wears a completely different mask. It hides behind pain, it hides behind sensitivity, it hides behind the very real experiences of trauma, but weaponizes those experiences as a tool to control. Here's how it plays out. A woman gets dysregulated and demands that her entire family reorganize around her emotions. She'll control partners with phrases such as, "You need to change if you want me to feel safe." She manipulates co-parenting dynamics. This is where I see it a lot, mandated co-parenting dynamics, by turning the children against their father because she feels threatened, abandoned, and wounded. Here's the part that stings. Yes, her pain is real, but that does not make her behavior healthy. Emotional dysregulation does not justify emotional control. Your trauma is not your partner's debt to pay. In fact, research shows that this is not just anecdotal. Dr. Pinnakis and Kane, they describe vulnerable narcissists as hypersensitive and control-seeking through victim narratives. In parental alienation research, we see clear patterns of emotional manipulation used as punishment in co-parenting dynamics. But what's really interesting in all of this, nobody wants to consider this abuse when it's wrapped up in female fragility. The Me Too movement exposed real abuse, but it also gave some women a shield to hide behind and to avoid accountability. If you cry enough, society will believe that you are the victim. But if a man did these same controlling behaviors, monitoring where you go, who you talk to, demanding constant reassurance, we'd call it emotional abuse. Control is control, no matter who is doing it. And sometimes covert female narcissism hides in plain sight because we confuse tears with truth. This is not about blaming women. Don't get your knickers in a twist, loves. This is about owning that dysfunction wears many faces. True healing requires that we are willing to call out unhealthy patterns. It's very easy for us to all do it externally until it's time to do it on ourselves.
Now you see where I'm going with this episode. Strap in, it's gonna be a long one. This is where I'm going with it. I don't do that to try to shame any of you women out there because you need to learn. The men have already taken their accountability. We have. We've done the work. We shamed ourselves internally and publicly. This is something that women struggle with, is shaming themselves publicly for the consequences of their actions. And expecting men who hurt them to come out of the woodworks and get on a platform and said, "This is who I've hurt. I've hurt this woman. I abused this woman. This is what I did." And women who were abused by such men are waiting for this grandiose humility of the men who abuse them, and it will never come. Most likely, it will never come. They are not going to show up on ESPN, ABC News, CNN, talking about, "This is the woman I've hurt, y'all. I abused this woman from to the barn to the bed. I abused her. I'm sorry." Women are waiting for this grandiose statement or show of humility and apathy and empathy from their abusers. It will never come. I'm sorry, it will never come. And because it will never come, you are transferring that bitterness on into the next relationship and into the next relationship, into the next relationship. So you get attracted to men who are the men that abused you because you're searching for this apology. You are searching for this humility. because you are still yet carnal-minded, babes in this walk. I have fed you with milk and not with food, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. 1 Corinthians 3:2. Fed you with milk, which means I'm giving you sound doctrine. Not just me, anybody who tells you or tries to correct you, reprove you, or exhort you. Try to soft give you criticism, and you can accept it. You can accept what Yah said, this is what your role is. You can accept taking a back seat to the man on certain things. You can accept that milk. So I'm not going to serve you with food or what your real purpose is, because you can't hear it, because you're still trapped in carnality. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Think about that. I said this in the last episode. If you think about all the men you've dated, all the situationships, all the one-night stands, all the abuse that you've gotten verbally or physically, who opened the legs? I know my man didn't just show up with a crowbar and pry them open. Who opened their legs? We can go back to how the legs were open in Genesis, figuratively. Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. This is why we are given charge and authority over you. Because even Adam wasn't fooled by subtlety. It doesn't say the serpent got anywhere near Adam because he respected the authority. Satan didn't even come at Adam. As powerful as Satan is as a cherubim, you trying to tell me he could take out all of Job's belongings and his family members? But the very first man that was created, that he hated, that he was told to bow down to, that he would never bow down to, he could not touch. It was only through the woman was they allowed to get touched. This is why Yah said also that your desire will be towards your man. So the Most High had to fix her heart to direct it towards her man. And he shall have rule over her. And women talk about, oh, the Bible is so oppressive. It's offensive to us. It keeps us in the Stone Ages. Now you see why. If you look at the reason why things going on today, now you see why. Now you see why women are giving their, donating their children to unhealthy relatives, and they end up strapped up and bundled up in packages, kept dead for 2 months in the back of a car. That's where we are. So Hebrews 13, verse 17, doesn't really truly talk about women per se, but it still echoes the authority. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. If you think of all the men that did you dirty, was these men following laws, statutes, commandments, ordinances? If you say no, were you at the time following laws, statutes, commandments, ordinances? If you say no, then it says in Scripture in Sirach, a righteous man is for a righteous woman is for a righteous man who has the fear of Yahuwah. A wicked man, His portion is a wicked woman. I'm paraphrasing. A righteous man gets a righteous woman that fear Yahuwah. A wicked man gets a wicked woman because they're sinners. That is their portion. So you are attracted to sin because you are a sinner. You are not walking upright. You are not righteous. So there is your accountability. You attracted what you were putting out, which was sin. And you think in your mind, like, you know, I was good. I was a good woman to this sinner. This shouldn't have happened to me. Oh, he just came out of this. He just started this personality out of nowhere. I don't understand. How did this happen to me? I treated him right. I loved him. I cooked for him. We spent time together. Now all of a sudden, he's putting his hands on me. Now all of a sudden, he's cheating on me. Now all of a sudden, he's talking crazy to me. And you haven't figured out in your own brain why that is.
In general, good men are steady and consistent and predictable. It's why, as women, we think you're boring. As women, in general, we like chaos and drama and disruption of routine. That's what makes us feel alive and engaged in life, because we want to do what we want to do. Structure holds us accountable, and we don't want accountability. So we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it and thrive on that instability, because again, it makes us feel engaged and alive. Ergo, why we are attracted to bad boys, because they're chaotic and we think that's exciting and it adds drama and passion to our lives.
Going back to Eve, Adam must have looked at Eve like, damn, if she's ready to transgress and be disobedient to Yah, I know she's not going to listen to me unless I do what she says. And that's why Adam was punished for hearkening to his wife. He thought, I'm going to lose my woman, because it's clear as day she's demonstrating that she won't even obey Yah. If she won't obey Yah, damn, she's damn sure not going to obey me. And this is where the Ahab spirit comes in. This is almost the first formulation of that, of a man being scared he was going to lose his woman to something else. And he thought, all right, I might as well get kicked out of paradise and chance this with her. I might as well lose my authority with her, because this is the only woman I know. She's the only one of my kind. Now it's becoming a thing where men ain't afraid to lose women like this. And I think you women need to wake up to that. Men, real men, righteous men, men who are walking in this truth, are not afraid to lose women like this, because they know that when the Most High has given them a household to provide and rule over, it is nothing for Yah to raise up and exalt and pull down. So if a man is continually in his righteousness and continually being upright, but there's a thorn in his side, the thorn will be removed. He will put somebody in that household that will help this man continually do what Yah had instructed him to do. This is not the days of Adam and Eve where it's just one woman, one man. It's plenty of women dying for the chance to be covered. If you are given a chance to be under a man who is covering you, providing for you, you should and be better doing all that you can to make sure that man is comfortable so he can continue providing, covering, and walking the way that the Most High has instructed him to walk. That is your purpose. When it says, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy. So when your man is praying for you, regardless if however you're acting, either you're being disobedient, causing strife, envying, division, or are you just a beautiful representation of a scriptural or a biblical woman, we have to give account to you, account of you. We would like to do it with joy. We don't like going, wasting our prayer words, wasting our prayer time, wasting Yahusha's time and Yahuwah time, complaining that you won't get it right. Complaining that you won't leave your victim mentality alone. Complaining that you are causing a strife within our Ruach. We want to be able to give a good account with joy that, oh, she's getting it. Thank you, Yah, for giving me this woman. Thank you. She's seeing the light. Thank you for giving a woman that uplifts me, that continues to allow me to praise and worship you. Oh, that keeps me in line, to make sure my dietary needs are met. Make sure that I'm always eating. Make sure that I'm not bringing too much of the world down on myself. Thank you for giving me a pillar of rest. That is the account we would like to give and should be giving. We shouldn't be, oh, yeah, she won't take accountability. Yeah, she won't apologize. Yeah, she won't repent. Yeah, she's talking crazy. We have to give an account also to Yahusha and to Yahuwah how we treat you. So don't be like, oh, why don't you take accountability for what you say and what you do? We do. Men do this. And the fact that some of us quiet men don't show our emotions when we're upset most of the time, or we don't show what's going on in our heads. We are focusing on what we have to do as a mission for Yah. That is where our minds are preoccupied. We don't have time to sit and dilly-dally with emotions like women do. That's not our calling. Our calling is not to sit and reason within our passions and reason with our emotions at every turn to see if we're insecure or secure, to see if we are being the victims or not being the victims. We don't have time for that. We're providing, covering, doing security, watching for the enemy 100 yards down the line, not just five feet in front of us. Well, we are watching for the enemy before he even thinks about coming. That's what we're preparing for. We don't have time to sit there and show emotion on our face. So you can relate that or equate that with if we're showing empathy, apathy, or humility or not. Some of you men, women, you modern women, want men to be like homosexuals, to have the mannerisms of a woman, so you know what's going on inside of us. It will never happen. Some of us have our face like flint, like stone rock. And because of this, you and your mind are susceptible to weak nature thoughts that think, oh, he must don't care about me. I must be the problem. I should just kill myself. I should just run away. He doesn't love me. And every time you do this, you show us why you need to be ruled over. You show us why you are the weaker vessel. You show us why. That in symbolism, men are like the sun. Constant. Repetitive. Predictable. Simplistic. And women are like the moon. Ever-changing. Ever-changing. That's why Yah has to deal with us as he dealt with a woman. That's why pagans and Gnostics, they get into this old, the sun is Jesus. They get into sun worship and the moon, because they already know that they called the sun a man and the moon a woman. They understood that symbolism, just like I understood it. That's why I understand it more when Yahusha is the bridegroom. Yahuwah is the bridegroom and we are the bride. Regardless if we're masculine or not, we as a nation of Yasharel are looked as a woman. Even in scripture, Jerusalem or Yerushalayim is called Ariel, which is a feminine name and a different name, alternate name for Yerushalayim. That's why Yahuwah has said multiple times in scripture that you are whoring or committing whoredom by going to these other nations. He didn't say we'll be in a male thought. He didn't say we'll be in escorts. He didn't say we'll be in Chippendales. He said we'll be in whores. Because we go wherever that's pleasant to our eyes, just like Chua. We go wherever we think we can be wise, wherever that exalts us, wherever we can be like a god, instead of showing humility. So what was the whole cause of the whole fall and the being kicked out of the Garden of Eden? Wisdom. A woman wanting to be wise. It don't matter if she is educated about our enemies. It doesn't matter if she's educated about women who don't know what they're talking about. It don't matter. Whatever knowledge or wisdom that women search for, they will search for it without being obedient to Yah. And this is where women fall. That was the biggest programming that the serpent ever created, was the fact that women thinking they could be wise like the Most High in disobedience. It is the best trick that the serpent has, or anyone in this matter, has ever pulled on the eyes of women. On the eyes, hearts, and men, eyes, hearts, and minds of women, is to convince them that through disobedience, they can be smarter than the Most High. Let's find out what real wisdom is, shall we? Sirach, or Ecclesiasticus 1:16. To fear Yahuwah is fullness of wisdom and fills men with her fruits. So I don't care how smart you think you can be by watching 100 different or 100 million different YouTube shows on flat earth, symbolism, Hollywood, sports being rigged. It don't matter. If you are walking in disobedience as what your intended purpose is on this earth, you are not getting the fullness of wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:18-19. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. And this is something I had to do. I told the Most High, I'm stupid. I am a dumb man. I need to know more about what I'm into. I need to know more about this life. Can you show me what I need to know? I came out and said first, Yah, I'm stupid. I am a dumb man. I know nothing. Just as Solomon asked for wisdom, but he asked for it in order to rule Yasharel. So women say, oh, Solomon asked for wisdom and he got it. No, Solomon asked for a purpose to rule. He didn't ask to be smart so he can rival Yah. He didn't ask for equality with Yah. The whole thing with Eve, she wanted to be like Yah. Women today want to be like Yah. So most women in their victimhood or in their narcissistic mind think that, okay, if I can learn as much as I can from a man who knows, I can then equate my wisdom and righteousness to his. So then I can uplift and exalt myself as him. I could be like him. I could be also the head of the household. I can also be a coverer for myself. Because let's face it, women think of themselves before they think of anything. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with Elohim. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. So when you women feel sorrow for trying to search out wisdom above the Most High, or try to search out wisdom that usurps the authority of the man in the house, you are going to be met with sorrow. And a sorrow should come with repentance. So when you feel that Ruach leaving you, when you feel it leaving your system, that you feel sorrowful, it ain't the man's fault that he made you feel like this. It wasn't his tone of voice that made you feel like this. You were felt like that because the Ruach HaKodesh, or little of it that is in you, fled you and made you feel sorrowful for going against your covering or going against the man Yah has set you up with. Or a man that he has prepared you for, but you were disobedient to Yah because you sought your own ways. I see a lot of you online seeking your own ways in your carnality. The more you post it, the more you do it, the more you repel your heavenly blessing. The more you repel your peace and your rest. And you're going to convince yourself that all you need to do is hustle harder. If I can just hustle harder. If I could just slave and whore myself out to this system even more, because I see the fruit of it through attention. But not all attention is good attention. But I see it. I see it every day. Wisdom of Solomon 1:5. For the Ruach HaKodesh of discipline will flee deceit, and removed from thoughts that are without understanding. It will not abide when unrighteousness comes. The Ruach HaKodesh of discipline will flee deceit. You think the Ruach HaKodesh don't know when you women are being manipulative? You think it doesn't know when you're gaslighting? You think it doesn't know when you're being narcissistic? You think it doesn't know the thoughts that goes on in your head? You think it doesn't know? Sirach 119, wisdom rains down skill and knowledge of understanding and exalts them to honor that hold her fast. The root of wisdom in Sirach 120 is to fear Yahuwah, and the branches thereof are long life. Sirach 127, for the fear of Yahuwah is wisdom and instruction, and faith and meekness are his delight. Instruction, obedience, and faith and fear. Faith, fear, instruction, obedience. Like those of you who have been athletes at one point in your time, what do your coaches always tell you? Make sure you're coachable. If you're not a coachable player, it's nothing that the coach can do for you. He can't put you in the game. If you're not coachable, he can't put you in the game. Why are you women choosing to sideline yourselves because you refuse to be coachable? You refuse to be criticized. And what you do is deflect when someone brings up criticism against you. So in this type of mind, you're always overreacting or hypersensitive or hyperreactive to everything. So you can push it off of you. So you can say, oh, I'm doing this because you did this. I'm doing that because you did that. That's what narcissists do. They deflect. And they hold on to certain situations so it works best for them if you ever try to criticize them or come at them with an issue or a problem.
A reactive wife is a foolish wife. A reactive woman is a woman who doesn't really plan ahead. She's a woman who only takes care of problems as they arise, and this causes her to now walk in stress. It causes her to be in survival mode, and now there's a crisis that she can't take care of, and now she feels like she's out of control. And what happens is the people in her household tend to feel the brunt of that. Now everyone is walking on eggshells because we don't know how you're going to react or respond to a thing, and now your husband is dealing with a lot of the pressure. You're putting the onus on him to make your life easier. I know a lot of women aspire to be a Proverbs 31 woman, and when I was reading that story, the one thing that stood out to me was that she was very proactive. The proactive woman knows that she is in control of how easy her life is, and she knows that as she makes her own life easy, the lives of those around her will also come with ease. We see that as she made her own life easy, her husband trusted her. Her husband made her life easy. Her children and her husband rised up and they called her blessed, and we saw the works of her hands. She was praised for the works of her hands. It's important that as a wife, you are more proactive than reactive, because you will act as a mirror to your family. It is not the responsibility of others around you to make your life easy, and usually a woman becomes reactive if she grew up around other reactive women. Women who felt like they didn't have a lot of control, women who felt unhappy with their circumstances, women who weren't trying to prevent problems before they came, women who were not proactive. And the best part about the Proverbs woman is that she did all of this with God. The more you are able to pour into yourself with the help of the Father, the better the pour from others will be into you.
So as I was going back to Genesis, the Most High knows exactly how you feel inside. He knows exactly what you're thinking. Even if he's given you time and patience to prepare you for a man, and the thoughts and prayers that you do not say out loud, he still knows what goes on inside of you. And if you're with a man who is trying to be your covering, when y'all get into an argument, you get into a tussle, or something happens, he knows exactly what goes on in your thoughts. So a lot of your sorrow, a lot of your guilt comes from the Most High convicting your mind. Now, what you do with that conviction is on you. But to back up what I'm saying, go to Genesis 18, 12 through 15. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Adonai being old also? This is when Yah told Abraham, and he told Abraham only, that he would have an heir. He would have a son. It just so happened that Sarah was in the tent behind him and overheard the conversation. And she said within herself, she didn't say out loud, she said within herself after laughing. And Yahuwah said unto Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I am old? Is anything too hard for Yahuwah? At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but you did laugh. That means the Most High is taking account of your thoughts. That's why Yahusha said, if you think about murdering your brother, you're guilty. You think about adultery, you're guilty. This is him backing up Yah, saying he knows your thoughts. This also goes to confirming the story of Haran. Remember we talked about in Jasher and Jubilees, what story of Haran do we believe? Do we believe the one where he tried to run in and save the idols and were burnt up? Or was the story about him reasoning within his heart and saying within himself, if Abraham succeeds, I will follow Abraham. If Nimrod succeeds, I will follow Nimrod. And he didn't say this out loud. He said this within himself. So this is why I'm telling, giving you different examples of backing up certain stories by using what Yah has told you from the beginning. What he has demonstrated his power. So if you said something outrageous in your mind about your man, you better repent. If you said anything disrespectful within yourself about your man, your covering, or about Yah, or about being disobedient, you better repent. That guilt that you're feeling is also the Ruach HaKodesh fleeing from you because of your thoughts. Have you ever thought of that? Before you make yourself a victim, you think of that. Yirmiyahu 17, 9 through 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Yahuwah, search the heart. I try the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I take this to heart, especially if I'm at odds with my woman. I come from a doctrine where it is better to do an eye for an eye than to ever show empathy, apathy, or humility. I'm big in the Old Testament. Before I even knew about the Old Testament, I was big into, you hurt me, I hurt you back. You slick with me, I get slick with you back. You mouth off to me, I mouth off to you back. I'm a big component of that. I'm a big product of wrath and vengeance. I always thought to myself, no one can get them better than me. Because I didn't rely on Yah at the time. Because my whole thing was to get you and get you in a way that it, like a serpent would get you. Very subtle. I could be with you for 2 or 3 years, cheating on you the whole way. Because you had done something wicked against me. Or you said something foul against me. And when I'm ready for you to know about it, I will let it be known. I've been that narcissist. I've been that sociopath. So I know exactly when those little examples or mind games come up against me. I know it. I see it coming. So when the Most High says, I try the mind, and give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. When I'm at odds in my relationships, I forced myself to no longer answer with vindictiveness or answer with wrath or vengeance. What I do was make myself a service in the midst of me being upset. Regardless of who fault it is, I make myself of service. Now, she doesn't know I do this. What I do, in the midst of an argument, when I'm upset, I'll go buy something that the house needs or that she needs. So during most arguments, I end up coming back with coconut water from Whole Foods, the expensive kind. I made that a thing. That whenever I'm upset, whenever I'm ready to call it quits, when I'm ready to flip the tables over and just be vindictive, I go do a service. I've gotten so good at it now, I have upgraded myself to the last argument was to take her car, pay for all new tires, a brake light that broke, the engine filter, the cabin filter, put oil in it, replace the windshield wipers, all of this while I'm in a pissed off state. That's how good I've been getting at it from practice. Because I know the Most High is going to reward me according to the fruit of my doings. He knows that I'm upset. He knows that I'm going through a period of strife. So what he's used to seeing me do is go to another woman's house. And I'm going to keep it a buck with you. The woman I used to always go to in times when I'm going through strife lives literally the next development over from me. Easy access. I'm talking about 5 minutes drive, if that. On tap, ready to go. But I say, you know what? I'm going to make a vow to y'all. If I ever go over this woman's house, you can upend everything that I have ever worked for. You can upend and turn over this whole entire household because I deserve it. That's the vow I have between me and y'all. So I don't have the option of going seeing other women. I put myself in a box. So I'm now forced out of my comfort zone to change my ways and my thinking of how I handle strife and division. So women act like men ain't taking accountability. Men ain't going to. No, we are. It may not be outwardly like you want it to be. It may not be humility like you think it is, or the definition of what you think humility is, or being embarrassed. So that's what women want. Women want you to be embarrassed in front of the public eye. They want you to be vulnerable because they think that is a step closer to where you need to be. But most people in these days are fake modest. Most people are now being ultra modest in order to gather up women so they can take them down. Wolves in sheep clothing. Men have understood this. Narcissist men have found out how to do that, how to work that angle. Coming through the back door of a vulnerability. Because that's what women look for. They look for signs in a show of you humbling yourself because men are supposed to be masculine. So softness and weakness is what they are attracted to. Even if it's fake. And it's the reason why they stay in a screwed up mentality when it comes to their victim card, when it comes to their trauma. Oh, men are being vulnerable. So this me being traumatic and a victim to my own circumstances, this allows me to relate to men now. I want to relate to men, not through righteousness and uprightness and strength and courage and bravery. No, I want to relate to him because he's weak like me. And when he's weak like me, we are equal. And when we are equal, I can rule over him with my emotions because he understands, he relates to me. Y'all see where I'm going with this, fellas? You see why you have to be men in this generation? Because that's where it goes. There is no backstop to vulnerability, just like there's no backstop to sexuality. It keeps going based off pleasure or pain. Let me move on. Let's get into what a woman supposed to be. Like a real woman is supposed to be in scripture. Women should read Sirach from the beginning to the end, then read it from the end to the beginning again. Because Sirach goes in on the type of women you need to be and the type of women you don't need to be. Sirach 26:13, the grace of a woman delights her man and her discretion will fatten his bones. What is discretion? Let's look up that definition of discretion. The quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing an offense. discretion, the quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense. Some of you women are too mouthy, too wordy, and being mouthy and wordy contradicts yourself over time because you don't think that man is logging in the words that you say to him. If you're a woman that talks too much, your words will contradict you sooner or later because you overuse too many words to what? Defend yourself and to prove why you can hold on to your victim card longer than you need to. Ciroc 25:20 says, as the climbing up a sandy way is to the feet of the aged, so is a woman full of words to a quiet man. And I know I got some brothers out there that are quiet men. As the climbing up a sandy way. Imagine climbing up, an old man walking up dunes. Climbing up dunes. It's hard. It's not with a lot of effort to go up as an old man a sandy dune. So is a woman full of words to a quiet man. Our ears cannot take too many words. Because we hear the solution. We hear that you have a problem, we got the solution. But women don't want the solution. They want to want you to relate to their sadness. They want you to relate to their trauma so they can hold on to their victim card. That is why they never want solutions to their problems. They want to talk around the solution because the more they get to talk about it, they don't release the issue. Because if they release the issue, they will have nothing else to talk about. Who can they relate to if they don't keep themselves in a victim mentality? No one is ever out here relating to bravery and courage anymore. I don't see anybody saying, I relate to this man because he's brave. I relate to this woman because she shows courage. No one's doing that. Everyone's relating to their victimhood. Relating through trauma. And I said before, because this system is set up to uplift the victim, because it brings them all the attention, is so many people in the comment sections of social media platforms that are dying to tell their story of how they are a victim. No one wants to hear a story of you being courageous. You just clap your hands and, oh, okay, whatever. Good job, you were an adult. Being brave and courage don't have a lot of followers. It don't get a lot of attention. Because a lot of people do not have the Ruach HaKodesh. A lot of people don't have the scriptures. A lot of people need attention. A lot of people are narcissists. A lot of people are not only attention seeking, but ego driven. Pride driven. That trickles down. The Jews have been doing it since their creation. The gays now do it. Black America gets their attention sinking from the top two. And it just filters down to heterosexuals. Those who be like, why? They look at it. They don't think they're being programmed, but they look at gays get all the attention. The Jews get all the attention for the Holocaust. They see that as attention. They see them playing the victim. So, of course, Black America uses slavery as part of their victim card. Oh, the system is so poor, so poorly with us. Woe is us because of chattel slavery that none of us went through. None of us had yokes of iron around our necks or our feet. None of us has ever picked cotton. But we take 400 years of something we never went through and bring it on ourselves for us not to grow. Not to grow. It's like growth is AIDS to us. I bet you it was a vaccination for growth. A lot of Negroes would take it. And talking about women who use too many words, you will get caught up. When it's time to go through an argument or a conversation about your behavior, you become a scorner. Proverbs 14:6, A scorner seeks wisdom. A scorner seeks wisdom and finds it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understands. What's the definition of scorn? The feeling or belief that someone or something is worthless or despicable. Contempt or showing contempt. Speaking in contempt. If you were going in it with your man and you say something wild and crazy to him, like you're not a man, or you question his manhood, that's showing scorn, contempt for your covering. You're out of line and disobedient. Doing this doesn't attain you some knowledge or information or understanding. Doing this is almost a sin because you're being disobedient to your covering, disobedient to your own flesh. If we are one flesh. A dishonest woman contends shame. A dishonest woman contends shame. But an honest woman will reverence her man. An honest woman will reverence her man. A dishonest woman contends shame. So what we learned about Sarah, that out of fear, she will lie instead of being accountable. That's what she demonstrated. I don't know how many times she demonstrated it, but for the time that we saw this in Genesis 18, she didn't take accountability that she reasoned within herself or laughed within herself. And she lied because she was afraid. Most of you women lie, not because you want to lie, because out of fear. Fear of being wrong. Fear of not accepting accountability. And you think men have to stick around and put up and be patient with this type of programming, with this type of mentality. You think you are the pick of the pick, that you are a pick me person or a pick me wife when you exude such behaviors and personality.
So this might trigger some of y'all, but y'all gonna be okay. All right, let's get into it. And understand, I'm not coming for you, sis. I'm coming from a place of love, but I'm not gonna hold your hand. Let's watch this video. A lot of y'all keep saying, I'm not settling. I'm only accepting a man who's successful, who's rich, who's emotionally intelligent, who's healed, who's done the work. And I love that for you. Believe me, I do. But I want y'all to flip it real quick. Y'all ever asked if that man is picking you? No, for real though. Not the Instagram version of yourself. You, unhealed. You, who keeps ignoring her triggers. You, still picking chaos and calling it standards. What if the man you're praying for is praying not to meet you until you are evolved? Yeah, that one stung, didn't it? Because a lot of y'all keep screaming, I refuse to build with a man, and that's fine. But then y'all mad when the finished product doesn't choose you. Let's be real, ladies. A lot of men don't want a woman who wants to show up when the house is built. Some men want a woman who wants to pour the foundation, not just take pics in the living room. Says some of y'all are not settling. Y'all are just delusional. Yeah, I said that. Because I think deep down, some of y'all know if you were toe-to-toe with that high-value man that you want so bad, you wouldn't even know how to receive him. You'd be sabotaging it. You'd second guess it. You'd run because you're not soft enough to handle stability. So I'm not saying that you don't deserve love, okay? What I'm saying is a lot of y'all need to stop demanding a healed man while you're avoiding your own healing. You want a man with discipline but still fight consistency. You want leadership but don't take correction. You want intentional love but ghost people who trigger growth. That man that y'all want at the finish line, he might be looking for something a little bit deeper than looks, a nice body, attitude, and vibes. And oh, just because you have your own money because we're adults who take care of adult responsibilities. The real question is, would he feel peace with you or pressured? Because the truth is, you can't skip the work and expect the reward. Again, a lot of y'all are saying, I ain't settling, but what if the version of you right now is what someone else has to settle for?
A real gut check moment. I got you, my brothers. I got you, my Akis. Just let this simmer. Just let this blend in for a little bit. Because women are easily susceptible to going to find teachers for themselves, and these teachers are either lesbian relationship therapists or have came out and said they were lesbian relationship therapists that they thought, that most women thought were heterosexual, or they'll go listen to Jackie Hill Perry that dresses like a stud, or they'll go listen to anybody and everything that does not talk about growth, that just talks about dwelling and sitting and basking in the ambiance of trauma. It's so many avenues for women to cater to their trauma online. These women are a gift. These women that are coming out talking are a gift. The women who need to listen to this, they are the ones that cower and shy away from the truth and accepting the consequences of their actions. They go hide. They're like, all right, I'll just go hide and not accept accountability and it'll blow over. But it never blows over. Because Jah knows exactly what you don't do. And he will reward you based on what you don't do. A shameless woman shall be counted as a dog, but she that is shamefaced will fear Yahuwah. Fearing him is also fearing the man he has given you as a covering. If you don't fear that man, how can you fear Yahuwah? Because that man fears Yahuwah and Yahusha. He fears judgment. He fears his household being upended if he treats you any way outside of the Torah. How do you not have the same fear that this man has? A woman that honors her man shall be judged wise of all, but she that dishonors him in her pride shall be counted wicked of all. In her pride shall be counted wicked of all. Sirach 26:13, the grace of a woman delights her man, and her discretion will fatten his bones. I like that. A silent and loving woman is a gift of Yahuwah. There is nothing so much worth as a mind well instructed. Here we go again with the word instruction. This should be imprinted in you females' mind. Instruction, a submission, order, obedience. If you are conflicting with these words, it's because you had no father or a weak father that did not teach you these elements of being a woman. When I had Sister Latasha Haynes on this show, one of the things that stuck out to me clear as day was that her father was about order, especially him being a military man, because I can only imagine the type of order and sternness and directness he had to deal with raising his children. Which is why when I tried to get into her mind and see if she ever wavered, ever had these wild nights, these, you know, these hot girl summers, these hot girl winters, it just didn't happen because she paid attention to her father or had a father that was about sternness and directness. Her biggest risk that went against her father was happened to be the man she's married to now. That was her biggest risk. Some of you who don't have fathers or weak fathers, your risks have been putting yourselves, your health, your vagina, your body in situations because you were carnal minded. Because you did not want order. That you had this whole philosophy of, I'm just a free spirit. I go with the flow. That's demon talk. If you ever hear a woman say, I'm free spirited, I go with the flow, that's demon talk code. That's code with, I don't like order. I don't like stability. I don't like to be predictable. I like to feel alive. I like to go wherever the wind tosses me. That's demon talk. Aren't demons like mist in the air? I'm going too deep for it. A Sirach 26:15, a shamefaced and faithful woman is a double grace, and her continent mind cannot be valued. A shamefaced and faithful woman is a double grace. Double. As Sirach 26:16, as the sun when it arises in the high heaven, so is the beauty of a good woman in the ordering of her house. You ever been to a woman's house and her house be out of order? Clothes on the floor, pushed up in the closet, almost low-key hoarding, fruit been in the refrigerator for 9 months, veggies went soft and spoiled. You ever been there? Or even when you have a woman in your house, have you noticed that she's paying more attention on the phone than doing the laundry? So laundry baskets all over the place, chairs all over the place. But she doesn't have any order of time or stability, so they get done whenever they get done. It could be a Monday or to a Friday, but it's never the same schedule, is what I'm saying. I mean, we could talk about order. But this, but this is the problem with this generation of women. Because they may not have the tree of knowledge to look at, but whatever they see on social media, that is their tree of knowledge. That is what becomes pleasant to their eyes. Instead of the work in the house and the work outside of the house, whatever they see that's pleasant to their eyes is what they'll spend most of their time on. Let's talk more about wisdom. Since women so desperately need this wisdom. For what? To do what? How? What's the point of being smart in this world if you're dumb to yourself? I repeat, what is the point of being so wise that you are dumb to yourself? I've said this many a times, that you cannot change yourself from the outside in. It has to be from the inside out. What I mean by that, women tend to try to change the environments and think that is growth. And they still carry within themselves their old selves, their dumb selves, wherever they go. I don't care if you go to Thailand. I don't care if you go to Bali. I don't care if you go to Puerto Rico. I don't care if you go to Africa. No matter where you go, if you are unhealed, you taking your unhealed ass to Egypt. You're taking it to Bali. You're taking it to Puerto Rico. You're taking it to Europe. It don't matter where you go. And after you've done doing the traveling because the money ran out and you didn't save anything in savings, you still come back to yourself. And you pissed off, you upset, you're unhappy because you thought those experiences, changing your environment, was going to uplift you and bring you into some new spirituality and some new life. But those nutballs call it 3D, 5D, 4D, and 6D. And it's still 1D to your ass because you don't even see nothing else but your own direction. One pathway to ignorance. You wonder why you're not happy. Oh, we got to go on a vacation. We got to do a girls trip. If you ain't looked around, look at where these girls trips are heading. Girls are beating up their own friends, or women they thought they were their friends are beating women up. Women are being kidnapped out of these girls' trips. Women are getting sick with these girls' trips. Girls can't even be around themselves, let alone take order from a man these days. They want to blame men for dysfunction. Blame men for being out of order. And here women killing each other on girls' trips. Mad at each other in the group chat because this person ain't paying their half of the share. That means you need a covering. If you got to complain and bitch and cry that the other girl is not paying her way or paying her share for the girl's trip, that means you need a covering. That means you should be the end of your girl trip era. Sirach 6:37. Your mind be upon the ordinances of Yahuwah and meditate continually in his commandments. He shall establish your heart and give you wisdom at your own desire. Only Yahuwah, in 1 Chronicles 22:12, only Yahuwah give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Yashareel that you may guard the Torah of Yahuwah Elohaka. This is what he told Solomon. And then he told Solomon too in 2 Chronicles 1 and 11, Elohim said to Shlomo, because this was in your heart and you have not asked for riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of your enemies, neither have asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. I'm going to give you riches, wealth, honor, and a long life. Only be obedient. That's it. If it was two men in the Garden of Eden, that's how it would have went. If it was two men in the Garden of Eden, that's where it could have went. I'm not insinuating that these two men are gay. I'm insinuating if the situation happened and this happened to be two brothers in the garden at that time, that Yah didn't need to create women. He could just create men out of the ground. That's how it would have went. But what did women wanted to be wise for? To be like God. To have the authority of God. To be able to tell somebody what to do like God. To be able to be have the ability to bless or curse like Yah. If women only understood, being obedient, following the Torah, will get you all the things that you want deep down inside your heart. But when you ask for the Ruach of understanding, Binyah, the Ruach Chokmah of wisdom, if you ask for it so you could discern for yourself where to be in this world or how you go about serving the Most High, the things that you truly want will be given to you. That's why I said that when you are given knowledge and understanding to know how to do ascending smoke offerings, new moon feast days, the Most High knows that if you have a little money to give to him, he will put you in a position and give you opportunities to have more abundance so you can give more to him. To give him more of his just due, because he knows that's exactly what you're going to do with it. That you're not going to buy 15,000 of Peruvian wigs. That you're not going to go down to Christian Louboutin and buy red bottoms. That he knows that you're not just going to save it up to go buy a Birkin bag. That's the difference. Vanity and following the law, statutes, commandments. That's the difference. Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his woman, even as himself, and the woman see that she reverences her man. We are held accountable for how the way we love you. You are choking the way we love you by these victim mentality showings within your personality, through arguments, through situations that are not called for. You are choking that love. Just like you choke the Ruach HaKodesh. Grieve the Ruach HaKodesh when you're disobedient. If I'm disobedient and not loving my wife, I'm going to be judged. I'm going to feel that sorrow. Colossians 3:18-19. Women, submit yourselves unto your own men as it is fit in Yahuwah. So that means you're doing it for Yahuwah. You're not doing it for the man. You're doing it for Yahuwah. Just like for me, I'm not doing it for my woman. I'm doing it for Yahuwah. Yes, there's some benefits I get out of me showing love to my wife, but I do it even in toughest times because Yah is looking at me. It's fit in Yahuwah as well. And you women dealt with too many men outside of the scriptures that have distorted your thinking and think, why do I need to do this for him when this is how it's been for me every single time I've gotten to this point in relationships? Let me hold back. Let me not submit. Let me not reverence him. Which you would be in complete authority not to, because he's not following any law, statutes, commandments. But because you've gone through a long line of choosing unrighteous men from your own doing, your own choosing, your own carnality, this is what happens. Men, love your women and be not bitter against them. That is hard for especially strong men who are already accustomed to be bitter towards the world. And when our women act like the world, it's so hard to not be bitter against them. Because anybody who should understand this walk, anyone should understand what you say when in accordance of y'all, should be the people that's close to you. Should be the people that you share a meal with. Should be the people that's under your roof. Should be the same people that share your shower. It should be. It should be easily gettable. It should be easily understood. But it's demonstrated so many times that it is not. That's what makes strong men. That is what breaks men down. That's what wears us down. That chisels us down. That's what makes us tired. Truly. It makes us tired to have to keep purging out of this, the world out of our women. I'm speaking for you Akis. It's hard. I understand it. It's hard. It's a hard fall. It is like walking up a sandy way. I don't care what age you are. Walking up a sand dune, walking up the pyramids, walking up something that's tough to walk up. It's hard to maintain that Ruach HaKodesh, that faithfulness, that holiness, that obedience to Yah, when you are tried in your own home by worldly behaviors. Ephesians 5:23, for the man is the head of the woman, even as Mashach is the head of the called out assembly, and he is the savior of the body. Are not men the savior of the body? Are we not in charge of protecting our women, our daughters? Are we not the savior of the body? But women keep demonstrating that they don't want to be saved. They don't need to be saved. They got this. It's their body. Their body, their choice. And look where that has led us. It's led us to the Negro woman being the top two categories in abortions and in abortion rates. That's where it's led us. It's led us back to worshiping Moloch. That's where it led us back to the land of Canaan. Therefore, as the called out assembly is subject unto Mashiach, so let the women be to their own men in everything. Not a little bit, but everything. Everything, everything. Not half of it. Not 50-50, not 60-40, not 70-30, in everything. And this is where righteous men come in. If you are demonstrating that you do not waver, whether it be good times or bad times, that is a show or an example to her that you cannot be wavered. And sometimes women do this like children to get a reaction out of you. It's to disrupt order. It's to disrupt the program. But you show them they ain't bigger than the program. That's what you show them. You ain't got to say much. If you're not a talkative man, don't talk. Just show. Show them that they are never bigger than the program. Like when I come home and bring groceries when I'm upset, I show her that she's not bigger than the program. Even though I can go to bed one day and not have no dinner prepared for me because she ain't her feelings or she upset, I don't show her that she's bigger than the program. Men got no problem eating chicken wings for 2 months straight. They really don't. Chicken wings, pizza, fries, we don't got no problem eating the same damn meals every single day. We really don't. We would like to have a little razzle-dazzle out of you. We don't mind that you give us a little razzle-dazzle, but at the core foundation of men, when we don't have a woman and a woman's not in our lives, how do you think we were feeding ourselves? Women think that food didn't become a thing until they came into our household. Women think doing laundry wasn't a thing until they came into our household. Before I was married, I was paying somebody to clean my house. I was doing all the cooking. I was cooking three basic meals, salmon, steak, chicken. And I throw a little spaghetti in there for the old razzle-dazzle. I even put a little penne alla vodka on there for a little razzle-dazzle. But I can take care of myself. Women are so sure-footed that you will never be able to take care of yourself if they leave you or if they're not around. You're not bigger than the program, sis. You're not bigger than the program. Sirach 9, 1. Be not jealous over the woman of your bosom, and teach her not an evil lesson against yourself. This verse reverberates in my brain, in my skull, every time I think about doing something vindictive. Even if it's a little vindictiveness, like being quiet. And sometimes I could be quiet only because I'm trying to process my emotions. And sometimes I know if I'm being quiet to be bitter. So sometimes I force myself to talk. Even if it comes out wrong and the tone is wrong, I have to force myself to fix it over time. Because I don't want her to teach me an evil lesson against myself. And I think you women need to really dive deeper into this subject, dive deeper into this verse. So that back talking, that passive aggressiveness that you do, that either you sign when he says something to you or don't say something to you, you go, or you do that little mocking laugh like, you think I don't got you. Where all you women do it. Don't let that man teach you a lesson against yourself, because then you will make it against his reaction and not against the foolishness that you have brought to his face. So him teaching you your own lesson against your soul because he do it back to you. That should resonate with a lot of you women. Y'all like to have the last word. Y'all got to have the last word. If it ain't the last word, it's the last sound. Kissing your teeth and all that. You want this man to do the same things when you want to take something serious? And he just like, because we can have a fart competition all day up in here. First Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye men, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Never showing outwardly disrespect to your covering, so he can exalt you and honor you. Some of you men are spoilers. Like me, some of you men that are not big talkers are big spoilers. You talk through action. You talk through spoiling. And sometimes your woman takes that for granted. Because the first thing out of her mouth when y'all have an argument, I don't care that you bought me this. I'm not all about just getting clothes. I don't care you bought me this purse or these shoes. They turn it into that real fast. I've had it happen to me before in previous relationships. Oh, you think because you got money that you can just did it? When you are a big spoiler, the first thing women attack was the fact that your spoiling means nothing. But again, my brothers, let them show them that they are never bigger than the program. And the reason why we as men treat our wives with such honor is because we don't want our prayers hindered when we truly need something that needs to be provided for in this household. Sirach 26, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that has a virtuous woman, for the number of his days shall be double. I'm trying to live. Why do you think all in this generation, men, or in this decade or millennia, men have always died before women? What do you think that is? Why do you think that is? That men go before women. A virtuous woman rejoices her man, and he shall fulfill the years of his life in peace. If you got a woman that don't like peace, obedience, stability, get ready for your life to be cut short. A good woman is a good portion, which shall be given in the portion of them that fear Yahuwah. So when you brothers are still dilly-daddling in your vices, and you don't have that fear of Yahuwah, and you continue to backslide, guess where the enemy is going to go? The enemy is not going to go through you. The enemy is going to go through your woman. And it goes through your woman, it will go through the kids. I had a situation recently that happened to me. Said that the reason why I'm having problems is because I got the Osmodeus spirit. That Osmodeus is is coming into my household and causing division, when it's really accountability. And this is from a babe in the walk. A baby in the walk that has no understanding of thoughts and are carnal-minded based on the flesh and how the flesh reacts. So the answer to that, I just wanted to put this in here. This is a one-off story. Tobiyahu 3:17 talks about Asmodeus, an evil ruach, was strangling and killing seven men that were supposed to be married to an Israelite woman. Now, we don't know the history of these seven men. But in order for Asmodeus to choke and kill out these seven men, is because these men were not righteous. These men were not walking in the law, says commandments. These men was not following the Torah. And these men couldn't have been of the nation of Yasharel. You want to know why I think this? Because Jubilees 15:32 says, but over Yasharel he did not appoint any angel or ruach, for he alone is their ruler, Yah, and he will guard them and require them at the hand of his angels and his ruach, and at the hand of all his powers, in order that he may guard them and bless them, and that he may be his and may be theirs from henceforth forever. So we go back to Tobiyahu. He was bound after they did the thing, make the smoke with the heart or liver of the fish and some other ingredients. He flew, he fled, and then he was bound. Asmodeus the demon was bound. It doesn't say anywhere in scripture that he was released. So I damn sure know he ain't released in my house. He can't be, because he ain't choking me. If I'm putting out two episodes a week and I'm doing other things to prepare for these episodes, how do I have time to have Asmodeus enter me? But this is what you'll hear, fellas, when you get your woman in this walk. This is what you'll hear. You'll hear, oh, it's a demon. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Oh, it's this. The deflection. You'll hear that. You'll hear the deflection rather than accountability. You'll hear everything else that it could be. But it won't be reason and it won't be logic. Anytime I say you got a demon or a ruach or unclean spirit, show me where. Let's go through the situation. And I guarantee you, it's somebody not taking accountability and somebody being misunderstood. Point blank. Samuel 1:15, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Yahuwah, he has also rejected you from being king. This was to Saul. Don't think Yah can't reject you for being a queen in your own household. Let me go back to 1 Peter 3, 5 and 6. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in Elohim, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own men, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Adonai, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. When he said being afraid, what was she showing that Sarah was being afraid of? She was afraid of taking accountability that she laughed at Yah's proposal that she would have a son, or his prophecy. She laughed at that. And out of fear, she lied. You will do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Taking accountability. They not bigger than the program, fellas. They are not bigger than the program. Sirach 25:24-26. Of the woman came the beginning of sin, and through her we all die. Of the woman came the beginning of sin, through her we all die. So this whole conversation of, oh, the Adam's apple was stuck in Adam's throat, so that's why he lied. Adam didn't lie. And for one, when they give you this argument, this stupid, silly argument, tell them it was never an apple to begin with. It was like a tamarind tree. And the fruit was like grapes. So it wasn't an apple. And if you want to go into the folly of that whole scenario, that argument, that, oh, it was, you know, why is it called an Adam's apple and it's stuck in his throat? Men lie. No. You swallowed the lie, which is why y'all don't have an Adam's apple. You swallowed it. You were told and agreed with the serpent that you could become wise if you ate the fruit of disobedience. You fell for that lie. Adam didn't fall for that lie. Adam wasn't told by the serpent, hey, if you want to be wise, eat this fruit. Adam didn't care to be wise. Adam didn't care. He was very simplistic in his nature. Adam said, I got these animals to name. I got this garden to till. I'm good. It was only the woman who came into Adam's life to say, yo, we need to have more than this. I want to know more. I want to know more like you. I'm insecure, so I want to be like y'all. Give the water no passage, neither a wicked woman liberty to gad abroad. You know what gad means? To go around from one place to another in the pursuit of pleasure or entertainment. And a lot of you women have recess. You want the accountability of children? Y'all are infatuated with recess. You work just so you can have recess. You work to go recess, to go play, to search for entertainment. Without a covering, that's exactly what you keep doing. And you end up in places where you shouldn't be, and that's when judgment comes upon you. Just like that rapper girl not too long ago in Chicago had an album release party, and girls flocked to hear that nonsense. Flocked to hear the more doctrine and propaganda and programming of how you could be a bad bitch. And got mowed down in front of that whole damn club. Just like you girls get into a car and y'all drinking and you got the nerve to post online you drinking and then the car crashes. Searching from one place to another in the pursuit of pleasure and entertainment. When are you women going to be done entertaining the enemy's platforms? When are you going to be done with that? This is why we are chosen to rule over you. Eventually, with us men, we get tired. We get tired of it. We know after a while, there's nothing in nightclubs for us. After a while, we understand there's nothing in bars for us. Spiritually, after a while, we know there's nothing in church for us. Y'all are the only ones hanging on to club life, entertainment life, celebrity life, church life. Cleaving unto it. That's why a lot of you Negro women won't leave Christianity alone. Hate growth so much, you rather stick to your enemy's doctrine. You hate growth so much. I ran out of stuff to talk about. So I'm going to end it on this beautiful sister's acknowledgement of her role. And she's not even married yet.
As a wife, people should be able to look at you and see the authority that your husband holds. Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. She's the crown of her husband. Imagine somebody walking around with a crown, okay? You understand the authority that they hold. You understand that they're in a position of power. You see the authority that they hold. When people look at me and my one day husband, you're going to look at me and by the way that I carry myself, by the way that I honor myself, by the way that I honor him, by the way that I lift him up, by the way that I speak to him, by the way that I respect him, by the way that I love him in the light of who Jesus is, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. The way that I love him and I nourish him and I build him up, I'm so excited in advance. You're gonna see the authority that he holds. On the flip side, it says, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. You never respect him. Every time he makes a mistake, you want him to feel his mistake and you wonder why he's not getting anywhere. You wonder why you see no change. In order for you to see what you want to see, you have to trust God with it. But you cannot allow your flesh to answer to his flesh. Your spirit has to answer to his flesh every single time. Your spirit has to be the one that's leading and guiding yourself, because the moment you step into your flesh, you're like rottenness to his bones. And not only does it hurt you, it hurts him. And by hurting him, you hurt y'all. I know that as a wife and as a woman with a lot of emotions, even within myself, I understand, truthfully, even outside of relationships, I understand how hard it is to hold your tongue. I understand how hard it is to feel like somebody's not hearing you, or to feel like somebody got their big one. Like they don't have to understand where you're coming from. But when you understand that it's not a me versus you, it's an us versus it, you understand that an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Be the crown of your husband. I'm working on getting my jewels right. I'm working on polishing my crown right now. I'm working on who I am and how I'm functioning and the way that I'm carrying myself. So when my husband does come in the picture, baby, he's ready to put it on.